You know when you have a Bible verse going around in your head, and I think I know what the Bible verse going around in your head right now is. It's the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. Who is this? Who is this? Because I don't know about you, but if a strange man stood up in front of me and started preaching, I'd want to know a little bit about them. So just a tiny bit of background. My name's Roland Howarth. I'm a lay reader at MIE, but most of the time I'm at the other place. And I'm basically a Londoner. I was a special needs teacher there for a long time, and I used to go to the church where Mark did his first curacy. So it was a shock to me to come here and see him again. And then I had a kind of a midlife crisis, went off to India to decide what I wanted to do next, and then came back to England, moved to Ipswich about 18 months ago, and now I'm part of the L'Arche community with Philip, Andrew Dunnett, you probably know. And L'Arche, if you don't know, is an international network of communities, about 150 of them, where people of different abilities live together, share their lives together. So that's what we do here in Ipswich. And I've got a couple of grown-up children in different places. Let's pray, and then we'll look at this passage. Father God, we thank you that you do make us uncomfortable sometimes. It's a funny thing to thank you for, but the journey to heaven, our life in the kingdom of God, is difficult because the kingdom of God is so different from the kingdom of the earth. So we ask for your grace this morning to be with us as we think about difficult thing, money, giving, that you'll give us the grace to give our hearts to you so that you can change them. So bless our minds, our ears, my words this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So there was a woman, Christian Aid Week, going around collecting money for Christian Aid. She comes to this huge mansion with a big gate. It's locked. There's an intercom. She can kind of peer through the railings, and there's a massive house, about 5 garages. And she rings on the intercom, and this voice answers, "What do you want?" And she explains she's from Christian Aid and she's collecting money. And he said, "What you need to understand is that my mother is dying after a long illness. She has huge medical bills. My brother fought in Afghanistan. He's blind. He's in a wheelchair. You know, he's in a very bad place at the moment. My sister's husband was in a car accident and he died. And now she's got 7 children, which she's raising with very little money." And the woman said, "I'm so sorry. I just didn't realize. I'm sorry. I'll leave. And so if I don't give any money to them, why should I give any money to you?" Because today we're talking about giving. I was with my USPG hat on. That's the missionary organization I went to India with. I was preaching at a church on the Norfolk border a few weeks ago, and I was talking about sacrifice. As soon as I mentioned the word, see the shutters come down, eyes glaze over, the old boy in the third row snored loudly. And it's the same with giving. We think, "Oh, really?" But yes, I'm sorry. We're talking about giving in the context of a series of sermons which looks at what it means to be a member of MIE. What does it mean to be a member of church, this particular church? So we started off, we get baptized, we live the teaching of the Bible, do you remember? We pray, We evangelize. We plant churches. We belong to a global church. Last week we were talking about holding money when Tony preached on investment advice from the Bible. How should our faith affect our finances? So this week we're talking about giving that money. We give. There's a reason, because this church costs £54,000 a year to run. And the general fund balance is down by getting on for £5,000. And what we started the year with. On top of that, we live in a very needy world. There are 168,000 charities registered in England and Wales. That says something. 80% of humanity live on less than £8 a day. And we've got so much, haven't we? Plus the Bible urges us to give. Just a couple of verses from, a few verses from the Bible. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, will be measured to you. Luke. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Proverbs 3. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus in Matthew 10. So today, actually, I don't think there's any point in talking about why we should give, because you know that. We know why. So what I want to talk about is how. I want to talk about how we give. Because, oh, there's the gate. Because giving is a bit like a roadblock. Our church membership is a bus going down the road, and we come to that. So what I want us to think about is, how do we negotiate that and get past it? And that's where our passage comes in. And I guess Mark chose this because it addresses how we should give. Of course, this is the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' manifesto. You looked at it last week, talking about money. And the key to how we give is what Jesus is saying here. Don't worry. The roadblock is worry, isn't it? So how do we not worry? Now, the Greek word for anxiety Jesus is using here is this. Meteorizomai. From it, we get the word meteor. Because the Greeks saw a meteor as something that's hanging in the sky between heaven and earth. We are hanging between one place and another. And that's an uncomfortable place to be. So almost as if we're being stretched in two different directions. From our commitment to heaven and our life as humans on earth. The commentator Blakelock said it's a bit like the tossing of a ship, literally raised between heaven and earth. If you've ever been on a small boat in the North Sea in the middle of a storm, your stomach will understand. Do you remember this film, Up? You've probably seen it. In it, there's an old man, Mr. Fredrickson, and he's helped by a very earnest young boy called Russell. And they tie thousands of balloons to his house in order to get on the adventure that he's promised to his wife before she died. And it's about letting go in order to be free. Good film. I recommend it if you haven't seen it. So what I want us to do is look at this Sermon on the Mount passage, because there's some good ideas in there of how we stop worrying and let go. It's a useful illustration, this, to think about how we can be pulled Godwards by the stronger force of heaven and thus be free to be generous. Three ways we can do that. The first thing Jesus says is seek the kingdom, verse 33. So what does that mean? It means prioritizing what is important to God. Love, mercy, justice. Oliver Barclay describes the kingdom of God on earth as a state in which God's will is perfectly done as it is in heaven. Where God's will is as perfectly done as it is in heaven. Seeking the kingdom, he continues, means bending our whole life to obeying God's will and resting content with that. And I find it helpful to think of those two phrases from the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Not as different things, but exactly the same. But how hard it is to go against our own self-interests. But as Oswald Chambers says when he's talking about seeking the kingdom, our capacity in spiritual things, thank God, is not measured by our own abilities, but by the promises of God. Our capacity in spiritual things is not measured by our abilities, but by the promises of God. So seek the kingdom. Try and line up with God's priorities. The second thing is getting rid of material ties. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Anthony Bloom, one of my favourite writers, says this. This is the kingdom, the sense that we are free from possession. The moment you are aware of your utter dispossession of all things, then you're on the fringe of the kingdom of God. You are nearly aware that God is love and that he is upholding you by his love. Only God's love. Because that's what we need to remember. It's only God's grace and mercy that's holding us up. But Jesus is not saying all possessions are bad, of course, but to keep them in their place, to use them wisely, because we know how worldly goods have a habit of keeping our minds on them, don't they? Picture Mr. Fredrickson in the up house, jettisoning all his furniture to get airborne. So what do we throw out in order to make ourselves light enough to enter the kingdom of God? And of course, throwing things out is throwing them into God's hands, because he then can use them, because he's in control of them. And my prayer is that we allow God to challenge us this week on this. And thirdly, it's about thinking of others, isn't it? In the parallel passage to this in Luke bookends Jesus' teaching with the parable of the rich fool. Do you remember him? What was his mistake? His mistake was his selfishness. Barclay again points out that story, the story of the rich fool who built bigger and bigger barns to keep all his stuff in. And then he dies and he realizes that all that stuff didn't help him in the slightest. That story is full of I, me, mine. Giving is freeing. It reflects God's grace to us. And it's the way that we seek the kingdom. It's about looking outwards in love. In verse 27, Jesus says, "Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life?" Do you remember? You can also translate that as, "Can any of you by worrying add a single cubit to your height?" Cubits are a measure. The word in Greek, sorry, two Greek words today, elikia, can mean either stature or age, can mean both. And both translations are equally valid. The first, the idea that you can't extend your life, seems to make more sense in the context of this passage. But I like the second idea, because you can extend your life if you live healthily and you can get medical intervention, but you can't really extend your height. I don't know why you're looking at me. Firstly, it emphasizes how futile it is to worry. We just can't make any difference. And secondly, because it takes us back to that image, meteorizomai image, of the meteor hanging between heaven and earth, being stretched between one place and another. Because it's not us who can raise ourselves, but God alone. So worrying, and by extension, anxiously hanging on to what we have, cannot extend us in any way. But giving our gifts away can build our church, build the lives of others less fortunate than ourselves, and ultimately build the kingdom. So let's let go. I'm going to pray. Lord, this is tough stuff. But I thank you that you are poking us with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we won't shut our ears to you this week, that we will pay attention, and that you will help us in our own lives, because we all have such different circumstances, to work out some way of letting go of the things that's keeping us on the earth, so to speak, so that you can pull us closer to heaven, make us more in line with your values. Help us to be generous, to remember your grace for us, that is generosity beyond our wildest dreams, and try and reflect that in our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.